This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Lowe's knows that no matter your paint project, saving is at the top of your list. That's why when you shop today, you can buy one, get one free select Valspar and HGTV Home by Sherwin-Williams one coat coverage interior paints via rebate. Shop these deals in-store or online today at Lowe's. We help you save. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See sales associate for details. Offer valid 8/21 through 9/3.
Welcome to the Betting Above the Rim podcast, episode 174. Today's date, August 20th. This edition of the Betting Above the Rim podcast is strictly WNBA. And let's start off on the injury front with it continues to get worse for the Indiana Fever. Sophie Cunningham, who's had a fantastic year, first year with the Indiana Fever after being traded to Indiana from Phoenix, is now out for the year after tearing her knee, I believe it's her MCL, on their game on Sunday versus the Connecticut Sun. And it's the Sophie Cunningham that's done a really good job. Remember, when she got to Indiana, they thought she was coming off the bench and to provide bench depth. But the DeWanna Bonner experiment kind of went south pretty quickly, and obviously DeWanna Bonner only played 9 games with the Indiana Fever before leaving the Fever. Now, obviously, she's with the Phoenix Mercury. But, you know, Sophie Cunningham scoring 8.6 points per game, 3.5 rebounds, you know, shooting the ball at 47% from the floor. And here's the key, 43.2% from three. She was the best three-point shooter on the team. Yeah, that includes a team with Caitlin Clark. So this injury has been devastating to a team that what we thought was going to be a top four to top five team in the WNBA. But it kind of gets worse because of the injuries they've had. Golson is out for the year. Ari McDonald out for the year. And obviously, Caitlin Clark has only played 13 games out of 35. Now, Stephanie White did say, I think it was late last week, there's no timetable, but they're expecting Caitlin Clark to be back in time for the WNBA playoffs. You probably want to rank or ratchet her up and kind of get her going a little bit. But Indiana Fever right now at 19-16 in sixth place in the WNBA. Remember, folks, top 8 seeds are the ones that will make the playoffs in the W. Let's hope a speedy recovery for Sophie Cunningham. And let's also hope that we get Caitlin Clark back on the court as soon as possible. When you talk about the league and you talk about superstars, obviously Caitlin Clark is the first name that comes to mind. For me, the next one comes to mind in regards to popularity, maybe Paige Bueckers. And Paige Bueckers is making herself a statement in her rookie year as she now, after the loss to the Sparks, she became, ready for this, the fastest rookie in WNBA history to secure 500 points and 100 assists. If you really think about this, folks, it's always going to be compared upon Paige versus Caitlin, right? 24 versus 25. Now, remember, last year, Caitlin Clark had a ridiculous run in the second half of the year after the Olympic break. Now, I've always talked about this with the WNBA, where these kids in college, they play the Final Four. 2 days later, it's a WNBA draft, and they're right to training camp. No rest. So Caitlin Clark got a little bit of an advantage that second half of the year, getting that month off for the Olympic break. Paige had to play through it. Now, Paige has been hurt, and she's missed some games, but Paige Becker's right now scoring at 18.8 points per game, 5.4 assists, 4.1 rebounds, shooting at about 46% from the floor and 31% from three. And folks, I think she can actually shoot the ball from three better. Now, it'll be interesting to watch when a team like Dallas, which is obviously has one of the worst records in the WNBA, they have injury concerns as well. Her backcourt mate, Arike Awobawale, who really started to turn it on a little bit the last couple of weeks, is now out for a couple of weeks with tendonitis in her knee. She'll be evaluated in a couple of weeks. And Lee Yeru, the 6'7", 6'8", big they got from the Seattle Storm, who played well in spots for the Dallas Wings, is also out for the rest of the year. So Paige is going to have to continue to carry the load for this team. Folks, I have to say this. If you are someone that wants to watch a guard that's really good on both sides of the ball, extremely fundamental, clean in her footwork, with a really good pull-up mid-range game, you're watching Paige Beckers. She does it night in, night out. She's been absolutely fantastic for a Dallas Wings team that really isn't going anywhere. We'll see what happens in regards to where they're going to end up in the WNBA draft, because obviously if they win it, they're probably looking at our buddy, AZ Fudd, to be drafted next year. Let's get some good news, and let's talk about the Golden State Valkyries, which hit the record books after winning and setting the most wins for an expansion team. The Golden State Valkyries right now are sitting at 18-17. Folks, remember when their win total was 8.5 and I told you to take it? Okay. Remember when they jumped it up to 13.5 and I said you should take it? Okay. Then you remember when it got to 18.5? I think if I'm not mistaken, Matt, last time we talked about it, it was 19.5. And now they're at 18. What a job by this team. And you got to think about this, folks, is they have missed Kayla Thornton the last 13 or so games. Kayla Thornton was having a fantastic breakout year, getting you 14.7 rebounds a game. But they've got contributions for other people. The person you got to really talk about has been the play of Veronica Burton. Burton has been absolutely fantastic in what she has done for this Valkyries team at the point of attack. 11.7 points per game, 5.4 assists, 4.2 rebounds per game, shooting at about 38% from the three-point line, and coming off a 24-14 game in a 98-91 loss to the Phoenix Mercury. I'm going to say this, and I've said this time after time after time. Cheryl Reeve, done a great job. The coach of the Phoenix Mercury, done a great job, right? But I do not care. Atlanta Dream, great job. If the Golden State Valkyries make the playoffs, and right now at 18-17, they're one game ahead of the loss column versus Seattle and the Sparks. If they make the playoffs, you must, and I mean must, give their coach head coach of the year in the WNBA. Let's end on this note for a tip-off topics, and that's the WNBA attendance, which continues to just shatter records for the league, I do believe, in year 26. Over 2.3 million fans have attended WNBA games this season, and there's still a month left to play in the season. Folks, think about this. Caitlin Clark missed a majority of the season. Nafisha Collier, right now the favorite win MVP, she's missed time. Breanna Stewart, top five player in the league, she's missed time. Arike Awobawale, missed time. Kalia Copper, missed time. This just shows you the greatness of what we have in this league. but I want the WNBA to be careful in the future on how they schedule it for the Lynx and the Liberty to play four times in 3 weeks is criminal. They got to balance the schedule out. They got a good thing going, and it's only going to get better. Coming up next, after the commercial break, we'll get into our award tour, part one. We'll look at the WNBA championship odds as the Minnesota Lynx are the favorites to win the WNBA title. And then we'll look at the MVP market. Could someone make a run in Afisha Collier now that she's been out for injury? We'll be back with our award tour after this commercial break. Welcome back to the Betting Above the Rim, episode 174, and it's time to get into our award tour as we break down the future markets. With the WNBA coming almost towards the end of the season, teams have at most 10 games left. I think this is a perfect time to do this one last time, kind of before we get to the playoffs. Let's reset the board, and let's look at the odds to win the WNBA championship, and let's talk about teams who can make the playoffs, miss the playoffs, and go from there. Next segment, last segment, we'll actually look at over-under win totals for these teams as they head down the stretch. After last night's Liberty win versus the Minnesota Lynx, hasn't really moved the market. The Minnesota Lynx right now are the favorites to win the 2025 WNBA championship at plus 145. The Liberty at plus 165. 8.5 to 1 to the Phoenix Mercury. I told y'all they were getting better than people thought. 11-1 for Atlanta. I told y'all they're going to be better than what we thought. 12-1 for Vegas. 18-1 for Indiana. 35-1 for Seattle. I almost called them Golden State. For Seattle. 150-1 for Golden State. 175-1 for the Sparks. And I don't even know why we're even talking about the Chicago Sky and other teams. They're not even on the board. That's how far they are off. Let's start with Minnesota. Folks, they're 28-6. They have a 7-game lead over New York, Atlanta, Phoenix in the loss column. And I do believe, at least New York, they own the tiebreaker. So it's really 8. Why are they the number one seed? Or why are they the favorites? They have the best record in the WNBA by a landslide. And they're going to end up with the number one seed. New York makes sense. It's second at plus 165. Obviously, we need to see both Nafisha Collier of the Minnesota Lynx and, obviously, Breanna Stewart come back for the New York Liberty. Remember, Naira Sabali is also out. Harrison is also out for the Liberty, so they have to get her back, them back as well, before we get whole. And also, I saw some sneaking news. I don't think she'll be back to you, but now that Laney Hamilton has been starting to shoot a little bit, I doubt she makes it back for the year. With Phoenix, it's just been a great story, 8.5-1. What can you say about their play? They've been absolutely fantastic, and they're going to be a problem with that double big lineup of Breonna Jones and obviously BG. Now, Jordan Cannon has been out for injury. They have to make sure they get her back. You know, when you get to it, Phoenix has been really good. You know, Satu Sabli, you know, what coming off the bench? Alyssa Thomas playing like MVP candidate. We'll get to that in a minute or two. You know, they've just been really, really good, that team. So they've been probably the biggest surprise. Vegas is intriguing at 12-1. Vegas right now is on, I do believe, a 7-game winning streak. So they are the team that you start to look at. Indiana, all the teams underneath that, I got concerns. Here is why. When you start looking at those 6, 7, 8, 9 in the WNBA, which is Indiana, Golden State, Seattle, LA, even Washington, the toughest schedule left in the WNBA is Indiana. They still have to play the Lynx 3 times, the Mercury once. The second toughest schedule left in the NBA, WNBA is the Valkyries. Why? They have to play Minnesota twice, New York once, Phoenix once, right? Then you get to Seattle. They got like the sixth easiest, but they still have to play New York and they have to play, obviously, Minnesota. Washington, who's such an intriguing team because they've been playing really well, but they got to play New York twice, Mercury once. Where am I getting at? The team that's going to dictate who goes where in the playoffs, it's going to be Cheryl Reeve and the Minnesota Lynx. Because at what point does she kind of rest players to get them ready for the playoff run? But at the same time, she's got to get Nafisha Collier back to try and get her going, especially if they get the Carrington trade. The easiest schedule left in the WNBA is the Liberty. 9 games left. Atlanta, Mercury, those are going to be big games. Valkyrie, but they got 2 Washington, 2 Chicago, 1 Connecticut. They should probably land up in the 2 spot. That 3-4 will get interesting because after the Liberty, the 2 easiest schedules after that are Atlanta and Phoenix. So to me, this is where it gets tricky, folks, and that's where you have to kind of look at a place like Tankathon and look at the schedules the rest of the way. Who am I taking to win the WNBA championship? It's going to be the New York Liberty. I still think, listen, they had those last couple of games they had against Minnesota. Still getting Messerman back in the fold. Right, getting Durant into the fold. But then looking at the fact of the game in New York, up late third quarter, wheels fell off. The game last week, last Sunday, I do believe, they were in the game all the way to the end. One possession game with about a minute left to go. It'll be interesting to see what happens, but I still like New York win the championship. Really quick to the MVP market, Nafisha Collier is at minus 340. Asia Wilson is at 4.5-1, and Alyssa Thomas is at 6-1. Asia Wilson is kind of moving up the boards because of the run of the Vegas Aces. I am going to say this. And the Nafisha Collier misses another week or so. And remember, she has started to practice. She did not play in the game versus the New York Liberty on Tuesday night because she was doubtful. They ruled her out before the game. She's close. And if it's a slow ramp up, the way Alyssa Thomas has played, if they can find a way to get to 2, remember, they're tied in the loss column, and they got to play New York one more time. And they got 2 wins over New York Liberty already. If they get their way to 2, and she plays the whole season, how can you not say Alyssa Thomas is not the MVP? Remember, Satu Sabally missed time, and so did Kalia Copper. Coming up next, we'll continue our award tour as we play a little game of over-under. I'll pull up a bunch of teams, and I'll tell you if I think they go over or under their win total. We'll be back with our award tour, part 2, after this commercial break. Welcome back to the Betting Above the Rim podcast, episode 174. Let's continue on with our award tour with a little bit of a over-under. Like I said last segment, about 10 games left to go in the WNBA season. And there still is a market out there for over-under win totals. Now, I told my producer, Matt George, that to not give me any warning. I don't know what 3 teams out of the 13 teams in the WNBA he has picked. I don't even know it in the preview box. I got to see it when he pulls up the first one. So let's go ahead and let's pull up the first team in over-under. And that's the New York Liberty, at 29.5 wins, plus 156 to the over, minus 194 to the under, which means people are really thinking that New York is going to finish with 29 or less wins. Now, think about this, folks. That means the New York Liberty right now with 22 wins will have to win, ready for this, folks, 8 out of the last 9 games. I'm going to take the over. And maybe this is me just being my typical New York Liberty fandom, and I'm probably going to bite myself into you-know-what when I say this, but I think it's important for them to get that 2 seed. I think they've played an incredibly difficult schedule. You look at their schedule the rest of the way with the easiest schedule in the WNBA left to go in the regular season. One game versus Atlanta, one versus the Mercury, one versus the Valkyries, one versus Storm, one Connecticut, 2 Chicago, and 2 versus Washington. You figure those last 5 wins they're going to get, right? So right now I've just put them at 27. That means I got to get 3 out of 4 between Atlanta, Phoenix, Golden State, Seattle. Now, do remember, the Liberty have lost, I do believe. I'm going to say this off the top of my head. I think they've lost twice to Phoenix, and they've lost in Seattle. The Phoenix games, ready, folks? Game number 1, Jonquel Jones gets hurt, doesn't finish the game. Game number 2, Jonquel Jones doesn't play. Seattle on the road, no Jonquel Jones. They'll have double J. I'm going to go and take the over 29.5. for New York Liberty at plus money. What's behind door number 2? The Vegas Aces at 27.5, even money to the over. The Vegas Aces right now have 22 wins. That means they have to win 6 out of their last 8 games. Now, ready? 3 Chicago, easy. 1 Washington, playing good offensively, but should get it. Sparks, tricky spot. That's 5 wins if they get them all. That means I still only can get 1 more out of this, out of these wins for them. Obviously, with them having 22, I need to get to 28. I just gave you 5. So I need, actually, you know what? I need 1 win out of Minnesota, Atlanta, and Phoenix. Considering how well they're playing, I'm going to be a little bullish here. We go over 27.5 for the Vegas Aces, a team with the 4th easiest schedule in the W. Last team, Seattle, 22.5, minus 164 to the over, plus 134 under. They're in the middle of the road. Right now they have 18 wins, right? That means I got to get 5 wins. Ready? Chicago, Dallas, LA, Washington, New York, Minnesota, Indiana, and the Valkyries. Oh, I don't know. Maybe I'm just going to get to everybody's thinking. I'm going under. I don't think they get there. I think they're going to get picked off by the Sparks, and I don't know if they're definitely not going to beat the Lynx or the Mercury. Just to go over really quick, New York, we're going to go over 29.5 wins for the New York Liberty. We're going to go over 27.5 for the Vegas Aces, and we're going to go under 22.5 for the Seattle Storm. This has been your Betting Above the Rim podcast for August 20th. For all things sports gambling, download the Sports Grid app, pregame, in-game, postgame, props, predictions, and more from the very best in the sports gambling industry. For my producer, Matty George, who always does a great job, thanks for listening, folks, and always remember, it's smarter to be on Sports Grid. Good night.